Chapter 14. The Year of the Shattered Oak. Dale Reckoning, 1313. Making Webs in the Shadows. "You know these tunnels?" Benny Iago's hand movements asked of Zacnaphane. The Brigandy Earth Band had gone silent now, traversing caves far from Menzo Berenzon. They had been out for several 10 days, and, credit to the skill of Benny Iago and a most exceptional scout, Nav Rayan Deer, they had avoided almost all trouble. No small feat in the Underdark. "I do," Zacnaphane answered with his fingers. "And you have been to the City of Shimmering Webs," Benny Iago's hands replied. "Once, a long time ago. With Jarlaxle, I presume." "And another," Zac replied. "A brilliant assassin named Arathis Hewn," Benny Iago answered before he could finish. That set Zacnaphane back on his heels. This Beenri knew more than he was letting on, and that likely included the fact that Arathis Hewn had met a most unexpected and inconvenient end, not long after the moment when the artery in Arathis Hewn's neck had met the sharp edge of the sword Zacnaphane now carried on his left hip. Arathis Hewn had been a major force in the mercenary band, second only to Jarlaxle within the hierarchy of Brigandy Earth. "I am surprised to witness Zacnaphane relating the notion of Arathis Hewn as brilliant," sighed Benny Iago. "He was, perhaps, the second most brilliant assassin I have ever known, second only to the drow who killed him. That is usually how it works." Benny Iago Kurth nodded in salute to that. "We're going to Chednasad?" Zacnaphane asked. "So it would seem." Zacnaphane slipped back a bit, then, slowing his pace to better take in the images and textures of the corridors around him, using the visual and tactile cues to send his thoughts back to that most thrilling excursion, perhaps the greatest adventure he had known in his life. The three rogues had traveled to the City of Shimmering Webs to parley with a high priestess, a matron who had allowed her pride to get a bit beyond her earned reputation. She had angered Loth, so they had been told. Perhaps that was true, perhaps not, Zacnaphane had thought then, and still now. For who could really know the will of the chaotic goddess who held these two cities, Menzo Berenzon and Chednasad, in her thrall? It didn't matter anyway, of course, for Lolf didn't really care for any single high priestess, or almost any matron even, enough to demand retribution in this mortal existence. She would surely exact any deserved revenge in the afterlife. In this particular case, however, the offending matron had done something far more lethal than committing an offense against Lolf. She had offended Matron Mother Beenri. A lot of drow had done that over the millennia, Zacnaphane was sure, but more sure was Jarlaxle, who had made it quite clear that few had done it twice, and none had ever lived long enough to offend Matron Mother Beenri a third time. The troop continued on their silent way for another few days, but then, right in an area that Zacnaphane remembered well, a place where he had rescued a band of halfling slaves, the direction shifted dramatically. The Hunsrin band had veered to the north. Soon after, the scout reported that the Hunsrins were heading back toward Menzo Berenzon along a lesser-used series of tunnels and caves. "They knew they were being followed," Zacnaphane said to Benny Iago. "I don't think so," Benny Iago replied. "This particular Hunsrin party left under the utmost secrecy. It is quite possible that they traveled all this way on purpose, just in case they were being watched. We are beyond the range of all but the most powerful diviners now. Their scrying mirrors or pools would not have kept up with the Hunsrins at this point." "They are being careful indeed, then." Benny Iago nodded, and once more Zacnaphane got the impression the Beenri fighter knew a lot more than he was letting on. Zacnaphane shrugged off the notion as immaterial. He had known Jarlaxle for centuries, and so was used to such things. "We are not bound for the City of Chednasad, then?" the woman asked her hosts. "You know of Chednasad?" Duke Quelv Hunsrin asked. "Of course," Priestess Ikara replied. "The City of Shimmering Webs, a most worthy tribute to the Spider Queen, do you not agree?" "I do agree," Duquelve replied. She too was a priestess of Loth, hoping to ascend the rank of high priestess in the next decade or so, and to answer otherwise would have amounted to sacrilege. Not that she had to lie in response to this question, for Duquelve was often out of Menzo Berenzon in service to matron Arolina Hunsrin, and many of those journeys had indeed been to Chednasad, Menzo Berenzon's most favored trading partner. Not this one, however. Matron Arolina wanted to keep Ikara and her fellow priestess, Bolfe, all to herself. The Hunsrins had come upon the pair on the road to Menzo Berenzon, journeying from a place they called the Arak Enclave, which they had claimed as a small but thriving Lothian drow settlement in the deeper tunnels of the Underdark. For Arolina, for all of House Hunsrin, this place, Arak Enclave, was an entirely new discovery. Perhaps Matron Mother Beanri knew of it, or more likely, perhaps she had forgotten about it. But Matron Arolina was determined to keep the information secret. A heretofore unknown drow village would make a marvelous trading partner, particularly if the Hunsrins could establish themselves before some other family, or worse, that mercenary band known as Bregan d'Earth, made inroads. The timing had been perfect, for this expedition had been planned barely a 10 day before the chance meeting with the priestesses Ikara and Bolfe had occurred in some tunnels still well outside Menzo Berenzon. All the expedition party had to do was reroute the mission to Chednasad to protect their new interests, and then they could proceed to this most lucrative promise that would very possibly lead them to a more lucrative relationship. Before Bregan d'Earth ever knew of the Arak Enclave, a group of Hunsrins called Priestess Duquelve away. As she passed a side corridor, unsurprisingly, Ikara's comrade Bolfe exited that corridor and moved to join her friend. Bregan d'Earth is following us, she telepathically communicated to her sister. Of course they are. Would you expect anything less of Jarlaxle? He knows that the Hunsrins have scored a major dealer in gemstones, one so rich with baubles that it could present a real curb on his insatiable ambitions, Ikara silently replied. Bolfe muttered some small talk then, in case anyone nearby was wondering why the two were so near to each other without exchanging any words or hand signals. Then, telepathically, she asked, Do you think he knows of us? He knows the two priestesses not of Menzo Berenzon have joined with the Hunsrins. Drow priestesses? Yes, Ikara responded, but there was no hiding doubts in such telepathic communication. We must assume that to be the case. And if it is not? Ikara laughed at that. Jarlaxle is no fool. He will take whatever information he gleans straight to Matron Mother Beanri, of course, and she is also no fool. Perhaps this will shine more respect on House Hunsrin. That would be good. Menzo Berenzon is such a limiting place. It is time for the Spider Queen to spread her tendrils more ambitiously from this city. And who better to do that than a rising house that typically has more nobles and commoners out in the tunnels of the wild Underdark than in the city proper? The same could be said of Jarlaxle and his Bregan d'Earth band, Bolfe responded. He is a mere male, so that is irrelevant. Ikara quickly reverted to audible whispers as she noted the approach of Priestess Duquelve. Good news, the Hunsrin informed them. The way is mostly clear and we have eyes far ahead. The journey should be swift and easy, and the most recent meeting with our contact shows him ready to deal and rich with a valuable mineral. He has to move the cash and quickly, else his kin and kind learn of his thievery. Why would you trust such a creature? Bolfe asked bluntly, playing her role. He's too dull-witted to be an effective liar, Duquelve answered. We know well the place and people involved. You have eyes among them? Ikara asked, though she knew the answer. Yes. The place? Bolfe added. Blingdon Stone, said Duquelve. Is it known to you in the Arak Enclave? No, Ikara lied. But we know of these ugly little Zwerf Neblin creatures well enough. We keep many as slaves. Duquelve nodded her approval at that, then waved for the priestesses to follow. Soon after, the Hunsrin party broke camp, moving swiftly and silently along the tunnels of the Underdark, noticed by none. None except for Nav Rayan Deer.